What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Quilting Company Podcast, where quilters who love all aspects of the craft, from traditional and contemporary to art and modern, share their passion and perspectives on all things quilting. I'm Tracy Mooney.
I'm Lori Baker.
And I'm Ginger Sheehy Daddy.
Today on the podcast, we're talking about crossover crafting. So we're going to talk about the crafts that you cheat on quilting with. Our guests today are Amanda Carestio, Senior Editor of Sew News and Creative Machine Embroidery, and one of the hosts of the amazing Sew & Tell podcast. We also have Allison Korleski, Producer of Interweave and host and producer of the podcast Fiber Nation. Finally, in our Fine Finishes segment, we ask the question, if you were stuck on a desert island and you can only bring one craft, what would you bring? Welcome, ladies. So how are you today?
Doing good.
Awesome. Doing great.
So, Lori and Ginger, we're going to discuss cheating.
Oh, always a good topic.
So, we'll start with you, Lori. What crafts do you cheat on quilting with?
I've done lots and lots of crafts throughout my life. I know how to crochet. I know how to knit. I was fanatic about counted cross stitch for years, and then it got so it was hard for me to make the transition between reading the pattern and what I had to do with the actual fabric and thread, so I quit doing that. I'd say probably my other love besides quilting still is garment sewing, but this past weekend I went to a family reunion. And one of my cousins gave me this adorable little crocheted fish. And I am going to start crocheting again.
You guys can't see it, but she brought it in, and it is adorable. We have to put a picture up
in
the show notes for sure.
It's actually in a little jar that looks like a fish tank.
It's like maybe 2 inches tall and 2.5 inches long. And it's just so cute.
Nice. So you're going to have a whole aquarium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea, actually. All right, Ginger, you're up.
Okay. So it's so funny because I'm fairly new to quilting. So I feel like I took that on and I literally have been living, breathing, eating quilting. And I have recently started to cheat on garment sewing. So I definitely, and it's so funny, my mom had tried for years when I was younger because she made all our clothes. Like I'm going to date myself, but I remember going to like the Donnie and Marie concert. It was my first concert. She made us matching dresses.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
My mom was obsessed with like, you know, making everything. And I hated it. I didn't want anything to do with it. So Amanda, who is going to be on our show today, she actually really inspired me. We did some sew-alongs that I helped film, and it was the Patagonia pants, which, did I say that right? Yeah. And so I tried that, and I got hooked. So lately, I've made 2 pairs of pants so far, and then she also gave me a book that really was a great introduction to, like, kind of tunics and things like that. So, yeah, so nice. I'm new to sewing and new to cheating on quilting. So
I love it. Well, and you're going to have to tell me the name of that book because I think I need that.
Maybe if Amanda's coming in, she can even tell us.
All right,
too.
Cool. That'd be great.
So, Tracy, tell us about you.
I've always been super creative and needed some sort of creative outlet. When I was in high school, I did cross stitch. That was before I even learned to quilt. The problem I had was I would finish the project and then not know what to do with it. Didn't want to frame it. I didn't know what to turn it into. So I've actually still got several of those projects that like are just
put them in a quilt.
Unfinished. Yeah. So I really should. And so then I learned to quilt. And over the years, let's see, I've done a little bit of crochet. And I wanted to get into scrapbooking. Okay, so this is my biggest issue. Over the years, I have not wanted to start a new craft because I didn't want to collect all of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the things that I've avoided are, so I got into scrapbooking, but I decided I was going to do it in fabric. And I actually figured out a way to make it like paper.
Nice.
And then I have always wanted to learn how to knit socks.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that because I'm just afraid I'm just going to collect yarn and then
yes.
It's going to be one more thing. But the one thing that I would still like to do more of that I've only done a little bit of is garment sewing. And so I feel like that's okay because it's all fabric and that just...
Yeah.
So we all need to talk to Amanda, don't
we? Yes, we do.
We do.
Welcome to Open Studios. I'd like to welcome Amanda Carestio, Senior Editor of Sew News and Creative Machine Embroidery. And your podcast is Sew and Tell.
That's right.
Excellent. Welcome.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to welcome Allison Korleski. You are a producer with Interweave, and mm-hmm. you are the host of the podcast Fiber Nation.
That's right. And I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to have you both. We came up with this concept to sort of talk about crossover crafting, and we were thinking about how many designers we work with who are knitters and how many people do all kinds of other crafts. So I'm going to open up the floor, and I'm going to ask Amanda first and then Allison what crafts you do besides your main gig.
Well, I would say that I'm pretty dedicated at this point to garment sewing. So I feel like I don't dabble as much as I used to. But I will occasionally make a little baby quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I have dabbled in all kinds of modern quilting and even some on the art quilting side of things. I will also occasionally crochet myself a hat. I'm very beginner crocheter, but pretty much I just want to make hats and that's as far as I need to take it, at least for the time being. But I've done, so many different things between beading, was really into needle felting there for a little while.
Oh yeah.
Making
I did that
little
too.
Three-dimensional yeah, uh-huh. mushrooms. That was my shtick. And also stained glass. I've made a lot of stained glass pieces. And pretty much everything I've done, I've made a version that includes flamingos because my mom is a flamingo fan.
Oh,
so she has a flamingo stained glass panel and a flamingo quilt and flamingo fabric shirts. And so that theme has run through everything I've done.
Excellent. What about you, Allison?
I am going to quibble with the cheating term that you used at the beginning.
Because are you?
I am not a cheater. I am polyamorous when it comes to crafting.
Love it. Yeah, okay.
That
all right.
None of them takes anything away from the other. But I am I'm an outlier with you guys because obviously I'm coming in from the yarny world. And you know, ironically, because I will make an entire outfit stitch by stitch, but I'm too impatient for sewing or quilting. So knitting is my love. I have also started spinning, which is that sort of
cool.
deeper dive
mm-hmm.
into fiber.
Yes.
And I've really fallen in love with that. I have done crocheting, but this is actually where my knitting fights with it because I knit very tightly, which is the opposite of what you want to do in crochet. So I end up with something that's really constipated and miserable looking and I just end up chucking it. But I'm glad that Amanda brought up needle felting because I had forgotten I do Christmas ornaments for my boyfriend
cool.
every year. He gets a different
nice.
Fish every year. So he
fish
has a shark,
again.
He has
yeah.
a narwhal.
Something about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's because they swim. So
yes.
And then I do some jewelry. And that mostly came out of pique of going into a store and seeing a pair of earrings and they're $100 and thinking, mm-hmm. I can make this for $15. So that's why I do jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's funny because I thought of needle felting as well. I had forgotten that I completely
yep.
went through a whole needle felting phase.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to felt sweaters and turn them into purses. And mm-hmm. then I would needle felt a design mm-hmm. on the purse. That's really interesting. So you mentioned that
you know, you're polyamorous. And suddenly the question popped into my head about, does working on other projects recharge your batteries? And I want, I'll sort of, you know, whoever wants to answer. Ginger, you've got
It's really funny. When you had said cheat originally, I was thinking of, like, things that we learned from others' crafts that we cheat and use.
That's why
I was first initially thinking of that. And one of the things that came to mind is in a former life, I had worked with a lot of art instructors. And one of the courses that I had worked on was a colored pencil course. And in that, I learned so much about color. And I can't tell you how many times I have utilized that information while I'm picking out fabric and just designing quilts and doing things. So for me, that was like kind of the overlap. And I found also when I'm designing, using my colored pencils to fill in the colors and figure out what I want. But I mean, just having that basic knowledge of value and knowing what's compatible and what's contrasting and all that fun stuff, I think is actually really, it's been huge.
That is a huge thing. So what about the rest of you?
So I have to kind of stray aside just a little bit, because the way I recharge when I'm not doing quilting is I garden.
Interesting. Okay.
And I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't quite call it a craft, but But yeah, the colors and the smells and playing in the dirt just kind of refresh my whole way of looking at things.
And I'm going to riff off of that, and I think cooking does that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to, you know, cook. So
I like to eat.
I think
because they're a good team.
All of these things, whether it's crafting or like you said, I garden a lot, it opens up that crafting part of your brain where part of you is concentrating on the thing at hand and part of your mind is just elsewhere. And particularly in gardening, I love that with a task like weeding or something that is very repetitive. You're not putting a lot of there's not a lot of cognition going on, but your brain does go elsewhere. Spinning is exactly the same. Spinning is something that's almost hypnotic and you're doing it more by touch than by thought or by sight. And it just... It uses that other part of our brain that we don't always use every day, particularly in our work. And I need that. I don't know about you, but I need my brain to go different places.
That's really interesting because I don't think about it that way, but there's something very valid about that.
Yes.
You know, so I was actually thinking about, Allison, your podcast is so very different from our podcast, and I think even different from So and Tell, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
So I feel like it has a very NPR quality about it, like it, in the most flattering way that I can say that, because I think
that is like the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me.
It is so very much true. I just feel like you tell this story and you interweave these interviews into the story you're telling, and it's really quite beautiful. Is there, do you have a favorite episode? And is there, what's the biggest thing you've learned as you've worked on?
Well, we don't have that many episodes, so I don't think I can call out any. I think each episode has been its special challenge. From the first one where I didn't know what I was doing at all, you know, the second one was more like, how do we make sheep make noises?
Did you figure it out?
And the answer is you start to feed them, you turn on your iPhone, and you walk away without feeding them, and they lose their minds and you get all of these great sheep noises. And then the third one was such a complicated story. It was about Russia and these knitted shawls. And so each one, you know, each one I think is a different story and has different players. I would say what I learned from it is that wherever you start out at the beginning saying it's going to be about this, it ends up about being something completely different. And that's what I like about it, because you know, I'll be interviewing someone and she'll say something and I'll be like, wait, that wasn't what you said on our last interview. And then I have to completely rewrite everything. But I think it makes it better.
That's interesting. What about you, Amanda? I think what's fun about your podcast is that you bring so much current events and things in fashion directly into your podcast. So I feel like I'm a little envious that you can have an outlet that is so current, whereas mm-hmm. with the magazines, we're working so far ahead.
Right, right. It is nice to be able to kind of talk about those trends that are kind of popping up but might not last for forever and kind of hop around. I mean, we do a lot of trend-based stuff, but we also talk about I feel like in our season that we're currently working on, season 3, we go a little deeper. Like we're talking about body positivity and kind of body image and how sewing can positively impact that. And we've talked about, we've talked about stash and really like stash fabrics and really mind that and thinking about, do you feel guilty about your huge stash of fabric at home, or is it empowering? And so I think that we talk about trends, we talk about sewing, but we can also kind of dive into those deeper issues. And those are usually my kind of the most fun for me, because it's nice to learn about other people and to dive deeply into those subjects, because I think that they're really important and they're really kind of at the core of why people craft.
I think that's interesting. All I'm thinking about is how we've been talking. Lori and I have been talking a lot about stashes recently, and about how collecting fabric has changed for quilters, I think, over the past 20, 30 years. It used to be you had to collect a stash. And I had no idea that garment sewists have a stash as well.
Oh, yeah. We have stash.
So how much fabric do you buy when you see something you love and you don't know what it's going to be for?
I'd say 2 to 3 yards.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of similar.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get pretty far into a garment with 2 or 3 yards. You can do a lot with that. You can do pants, mm-hmm. maybe a jacket, definitely a shirt.
What about you, Allison? How much? What do you buy, and do you have a significant stash?
I have made so many bad decisions when it comes to acquiring stash. Don't shop drunk.
I thought I was the only one that did that.
I haven't tried that yet. I gotta try it.
It's dangerous.
I went through an early phase where just everything was pretty and everything was beautiful, and I wanted to make everything. And if it was on sale, that was always a justification. And mm-hmm. I tried to be a little more mindful of what I'm getting now. So the rule is, if I buy it, I have to have a project in mind. And I try to be very organized about that, to the point of having the, making notes on it and the patterns and the swatches and all of that. And I succeed maybe 30% of the time.
That's a start.
So, yeah.
Yep, this is making me feel better.
It's a problem not only when you're hiding it from other people, but also from yourself.
See, I don't think I've gotten that bad.
Well, one of the things I love, though, because I sit right across from Allison at work and everything, and when we go into meetings, and it's not just her, but everybody in the yarn community, they always have their bag. They're always working on projects. So going to meetings is actually fun when you go, because everybody's working on different things, and you can watch them, and I just get transfixed watching them just do their thing.
That's nice. We don't really do that in the quilting side.
Yeah. It's a little hard to bring a whole quilt.
We doodle. We trace, our quilting motifs, and sometimes people will design a quilt in a meeting with their doodles, but that's about as far as we can go. I think this is really interesting, because I didn't realize there were so many similarities amongst the different crafts. I really wasn't expecting to talk about a stash and feel like such camaraderie with mm-hmm. you two.
We all have the same problem.
Yes.
Yep. Goodness. Well, and Amanda, I love that you talked about stash guilt, mm-hmm. because I think that that's something that we all
Everybody.
Wrestle with.
Yeah.
That we have more than we need, mm-hmm. which is wonderfully freeing when you're looking to do a project. But yeah, there is a certain amount of guilt with that.
Yeah,
too.
It can weigh down on you and keep you from buying new fabric.
So I have a question. True. How much, when you're working on projects and you have fabric left over, you know, kind of scrap type thing. When is, like, how much is not enough, I guess, to, I don't know if there's
to
any
throw
advice.
It away.
Yeah, to throw it away. Because sometimes I'll have like a half, you know, not maybe not quite, you know, half a yard or something of fabric or something. What Lori's looking at me like, oh.
Oh, Ginger. So my rule is basically if it's anything smaller than about a 10-inch square,
okay,
it goes away. But if it's really pretty fabric, I break that rule and save smaller pieces. I have friends who will save everything. I mean, like 1-inch squares will mm-hmm. go in their little box with snips.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if it's a half a yard, absolutely okay. you save it.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I would say, I was going to say I save things that are bigger than my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes, like she said, if it's a square, if it's already like a 2.5-inch square, I might throw it in the scrap bin.
Okay.
I also collect selvages. So I have a separate bin just for selvages. Those are, you know, it's going to take me years to get enough for a big quilt. What about you, Amanda?
I'd say similar amounts. I mean, with sewing, it's nice because there are a lot of ways to use those scraps. I mean, you can do pocket linings, you can do binding and facings if you're okay using a different fabric from your main fabric. So I think there's a lot of ways to use them. I definitely hold on to things and end up not ever using them all the time. But I think that's where actually I think there's a lot of overlap because I see a lot of garment sewists that they have fabrics that can be used in a quilt. They will make a little quilt from their scraps because I think that's, you know, a good way to use those little bits. So I definitely have a scrap tub.
Yeah. Yes.
It gets overwhelming at times, but
how does it differ for knitting?
One thing I wanted to just leap on something that Amanda said about my family. We have quilts that my family has made, and they're not beautiful. They're strictly utilitarian. The ones that were made in the Depression, we found out when we washed them, were actually stuffed with newspaper rather than batting because they couldn't afford batting.
Right.
But if you look at old photographs and you realize that the fabric on a dress my great-grandmother mm-hmm. was wearing is actually in my baby quilt.
Oh, how nice.
I love seeing that line, that continuity from one generation to another. And that is, I think that is so integral to crafting.
That is beautiful.
But in terms of, you know, using things, there's always that design challenge. And you guys were talking about that of like, I only have this left. What can I do with it? Or how do I combine my scraps into something that looks like I didn't combine scraps, that looks thought out mm-hmm. rather than accidental? Probably 25 yards. 50, depending on it, I could get at least part of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there is, and in knitting, there's always that when you run out and you put a stripe on something, that's kind of our lifeline on, mm-hmm. you know, how to get out of it. Like, ooh, I ran out of yarn. I'll just put a stripe. It was planned. You know, where you start using something else. I'd say 50 yards.
Nice. All right. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure having both of you join us. We're going to take a quick break, and I would like you guys to both stick around for our Fine Finishes segment.
So for our Fine Finishes today, we want to talk about what we would want to take with us if we were going to be stranded on a desert island. Do you have a special thing? You know, I think about it and I think, well, of course I need to be able to quilt, but I can't take everything in my studio. So, Tracy, how about you?
My initial thought was, okay, do I bring a hand crank sewing machine?
Oh, no, you have electricity.
We have electricity on this desert island. What? All right, well, then I'm bringing a sewing machine that has embroidery. And I am bringing, what do we do about fabric, Lori? Is there like an endless supply of fabric
I think there is. I think there's, it just kind of drops out of the sky.
I want this island.
I know.
This sounds like an amazing island.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even care if there was Wi-Fi or not. So I would bring my, I would definitely have to have a rotary cutter and a rotary mat and a basic ruler, like maybe one that I can do multiple things with.
Right.
I could only have one. If I could have two, I would do a 12-inch ruler and like a 6x18.
Okay.
I think that would be practical, or maybe a 6x24, and or a fill thread.
Okay.
Nice. All right. I took this like to heart, and I thought of two things, because when you're stuck on an island, you know, there's the survival aspect of it, and then there's the what do I do when I'm bored to death aspect of it. Okay. So I kind of had two things, like on the survival end. When I took up this quilting and everything, I was like, I have a skill that might actually be, if the apocalypse comes, people are going to need quilts. They're going to want to stay warm, and now I can build clothes. So I thought, I'm useful. So I think I would definitely want, like, you know, a sewing machine. I would want just the basics, though, where it's like I could clothe everybody, I could, make sure everybody's taken care of. So I love that I can become that person if I'm stuck on this island. And then for fun, you know, I think I'd really love to bring, because I still do love my colored pencils. So, and then I figure once they run out, I can find bark, or I can find, you know, something like that, and I can do something.
Yes.
With.
Pencil sharpener.
Yeah, and yet again, because it just wastes time, you know, and so I think I would definitely look into doing that.
So, Amanda, how about you?
Well, if we have electricity, I'm thinking blender and maybe some, you know, tropical boat drink supplies. But my initial thought was definitely all things sewing, because I'm with you, Ginger. I think that there's probably a way to make a case for all of the crafts being somewhat survival skill-esque. And for me, sewing definitely is being able to clothe myself, provide shelter, could sew a flag to signal, you know, passing airplanes / whoever's going to bring me my fabric. you know, I could sew up wounds, maybe? Probably not. I would probably pass out.
I would pass out.
But I could.
So. Well, or you could at least provide the implements for somebody
exactly.
else to
somebody
sew
else
up
does
a wound.
It.
Yeah.
I'll just provide pointers.
Yeah. Allison, how about you?
Like Ginger, I thought about this in two ways, and I think in the survival aspect, it would definitely be knitting. Because the knitting needles, they double as a weapon. They double as tent pegs. They double as, you know, you can roast something on it after
totally.
You've used it as a weapon.
Chopsticks.
Nice.
You know, and the yarn or what you can knit with anything. So that can be used for tying and packaging. But then, Tracy, you know, with your idea that there's electricity, and if there's electricity, there's probably a spa there. And I'm thinking my spinning wheel. Because with that, I could create the yarn that I then use to create other things. And the spinning wheel is just really zen. And I think of, you know, being on a beach or a spa, really zen.
I like how none of us are in Antarctica.
Yes. We all went tropical.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's warm and sunny.
Wishful
where we
thinking.
All are.
Well,
right.
With a name like Ginger, you know, I've been asked this question before, you know, Gilligan's Island and all
no,
that stuff.
So if I were going to the desert island, I need my sewing machine and the things to sew quilts or garments. But I also have three specific feet that I want to take for my sewing machine. And one is a 1/4-inch foot with a guide.
Good one.
Mm-hmm. And one is the foot that I use when I put on binding. It's called a bi-level top stitch foot. And it's got two different levels, so you can ride it on the binding fabric and set your needle so it just barely catches the binding. Cool.
Nice.
Foot. And the other is called a narrow edge foot, and it's actually created to stitch lace on the edge of a hem for a little girl's dress or a pretty blouse. But I use it when I sew together two pieces of batting. So I can bat a piece of batting up against the blade in the middle and zigzag it together and go really fast.
Nice. This sounds amazing.
So what are we leaving for the island?
Thank you. I like that. I'm ready.
I'm ready for the tropical drinks.
Mm-hmm. Must have.
Amanda's got the blender.
Yeah, always. Exactly. Thanks, you guys. This was fun.
Thank you all so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for listening to the Quilting Company podcast. Remember, you can find more information about our sponsors or what we talked about today on our show notes page, quiltingcompany.com/quiltpodcast. If you haven't already subscribed, find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Happy quilting! The Quilting Company podcast is produced by me, Tracy Mooney, and our executive producer of podcast is Jared Mayer.